T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Finally acknowledged that the Russians were in the county election systems of every county in Florida. You know, I don't have time, you don't have time to go through every piece of information that has now been verified as to what was done and then try to come up with reasonable, fact-based conclusions from that. No, I'm not over it.
Hillary Clinton still blaming the Russians for her loss in 2016, and the beat goes on. She's not going to let go of this. She did discourage the Democrats from going down the impeachment trail, because of course she and Bill are still a little bitter over that.
That's a sore subject.
Yeah, just a little bit of a sore subject.
Yep.
We're going to try to stay away from that. But she was out last night. She had a few more comments about the Mueller investigation and why it needs to continue. And you know, at some point, I think the Democratic Party is just kind of hoping she'll go away.
Hey, people keep putting a microphone in her face. I don't know who these people are or why they're doing it.
But here's the thing. They're talking about her in the past tense now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren the other night said she would not be Hillary'd.
Yeah.
In other words, having to be, they're now using that as a description of having to be on the defensive because you're a woman and you're angry.
I mean, there's no chance that she runs again.
No.
Right?
No. Certainly not.
There's no way that happens.
But right? she's a little defensive because...
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
I'm just saying. It's a problem. Well, you don't want to be Hillary. Well, but they're talking about her in the past tense, and that's got to be driving her crazy. Now Uncle Joe's going to get in this week. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that because the belief is Joe Biden will roll out his campaign tomorrow, in case you're keeping track here. I think he'd be... 23.
That's high.
He said he was waiting till everybody else had announced, and then he was going to swoop in and save the day for the Democrats. So that's a good thing.
Don't screw around with me.
Don't you worry.
Has he actually made any policy statements? I can't think of anything that he's said that he's really like standing on yet.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that he has, and. I think he's going to, he kind of, maybe that's what he wanted to do. Maybe he wanted to wait till everybody else had gotten out there before he stated where he was. Or maybe he's like Mayor Pete, and he's not ever going to tell you.
We're not going to inundate people with the minutiae of policy.
we don't need to inundate people with the minutiae of a policy. He's All you have to do is threaten to whip the current president's butt, which... Right. Biden's done a couple of times.
He's really doing us a solid, not telling us what he's running on. Just
vote
for him.
That's true.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
It's fine.
Well, we'll get to more on that in a minute. In case you didn't recognize that voice, that's Ryan Wiggins, who's in for Denise Schaefer this morning. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
We've been hearing him a lot on the Glover Show in the afternoons.
Wiggins.
Thanks.
Classic rock.
One more time. And there's a bar and grill, too.
Wiggins Bar and Grill.
It's a little early for this. I'm just going to say that right now.
He's complaining about being tired. Sue Thomas is like, are you kidding me, dude? I'm here all day, every day, each end of the day. All right. Yeah.
When I said that, I did not remember Sue.
Willa.
I made a mistake.
We'll get back to more of the national politics in a minute. I want to turn to the state right now. There are a couple things being debated down in Jefferson City, including prescription drug monitoring programs and the like. We are fortunate this morning to have John Bruner with us, of course, former gubernatorial candidate here in the state of Missouri. And a local businessman. And John, good morning to you.
Well, good to be back. You guys always bring a smile on your show, and I couldn't help but laugh about this clown train of characters that are running for president. But, you know, I tell you, when you sent me an email, I thought about that great phrase that says, trust me, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Well, it's the truth. That's still a scary phrase, isn't it, all these years later?
You know, I was just thinking, remember, Mark, for over 20 years, you had so three questions. Have you ever packed your bags yourself? Has anyone asked you to carry anything for you? And have you left your bags at any time? And I used to go to the counter and I'd just say yes, no, no before they answer the question. It took 23 years for the government to get rid of that question.
Yeah, that's true. They don't move quickly. That's for sure. John, you know, one of the reasons that I reached out to you to have you on is that I know we're nearing the end of the legislative session. This is where things either really slow down or a bunch of bills get passed all at once in a rush to get it done. One of those bills that drew my attention was this prescription drug monitoring program. Senator Blunt apparently made an appearance at the Capitol the other day pushing for Missouri to do this. And I believe we're one of the last, if not the last state without a prescription drug monitoring program. A lot of people are worried about the privacy issue in Missouri. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, you're exactly right. And this is absolutely insane. The more I've looked into it, the crazier it is. I mean, I came up with really six issues. First of all, it's not effective. It's been an absolute failure in the other 49 states. Billions of dollars are going down to it. Number three, driving doctors out. Four, to your point, building this massive database. Then five, red flag gun grab laws expand. And then those who are hurt the most are those who need this program the most. And it is a massive federal database. And the state cannot protect themselves from the federal DEA or local police. 21 states have granted access to police departments who have reviewed 300,000 records. The DEA won lawsuits in Oregon and Utah and California saying, no, we have complete access. So, you know, we're running to build this huge database, and who's in control? Where is the privacy, which isn't there anymore? And what about the hacking?
Yeah, all good questions. For people that are just maybe waking up to this situation, the debate's been going on for a couple of years now, but
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
They want to, it's designed to prevent people from doctor shopping. So if you have an addiction to pain pills, you might go to more than one doctor to try to keep a steady supply of that coming in. This is designed so that if you go to a pharmacy, the CVS's, the Walgreens would have a list of prescriptions that you had filled in their system, and they could tell if you've been doctor shopping. That's in an ideal world, that's how it works. But in order to do that, all of your personal information, a lot of your health information, let's say you're being treated for anxiety and or you have PTSD or whatever, all of that information is in a database somewhere. And as to your point, John, nobody knows who all has access to it.
Well, in typical government, if you look at the problem, doctor shopping is 2.5% of the problem, 2.5%. I mean, this program doesn't solve 97.5% of the problem. And when you get down to doctor shopping, the 2.5% of the problem, you know, I have a tendency of going to the source. You know, you listen to the politician. So I started talking to a couple doctors and say, hey, it's real simple. And they typically get a call, you know, it's my doctor's office shift, it's Friday evening, and I really have this really horrible migraine. I really need some help, doc. Can you write me a prescription for 30 of this or 20 of that? And these doctors are smart. They said, listen, if you have a serious problem, you need to get yourself into an emergency room, let them check you out, and they'll give you the prescription. But again, government is putting in this massive, huge database costing trillions of billions of dollars to try to solve 2.5% of the problem. And so what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years where these other 49 states have had this? Doctor shopping hasn't changed. The percentages are still there. And I ask a friend, why in the heck is everybody piling on? And frankly, the politicians have to, quote, do something. And that's a sad state of affairs.
Well, I'm glad that you made that point, because the simple solution seems to be identify the doctors that are the problem. And that puts a lot of pressure back on physicians, quite frankly, who have their plates full in a lot of cases, who probably don't want to have to deal with, you know, I'm in the office, I've diagnosed your problem, I'm going to handwrite you a prescription or call it into your pharmacy. That would be another step they would have to go through if we put it back on the doctors.
Well,
have you heard that?
Right now, 50% of the doctor's day is spent filling out paperwork.
Yes.
It's driving these doctors out. Can you imagine if we liberated the doctors and we're having shortages and doctors are quitting and the regulatory and the legal threats if you fail to check the wrong box? Can you imagine the cost of health care would drop, the accessibility to real doctors would expand if we got all of this administrative stuff out of the way and let doctors be doctors? I mean, again, well-meaning politicians to get reelected try to come up with programs that don't work and spend a lot of our money. And then, of course, the thing that really hit me with a hot button in terms of these databases, what happens when you combine it with these red flag gun laws that are supposed to get people with mental illness away from their guns? And what is what? There are 200 categories of mental illness. I know my daughter, she doesn't really have this, but she has a spider phobia, you know, stress anxiety, migraines. Who decides what is mental illness? You know, what happens in New York has it called the New York Safe Act. And mental health professionals are required to report anyone that they believe may hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. And it goes to the criminal justice system, who goes to the appropriate license official, who shows up and removes their weapons from their premises and their residence. But, you know, if you were a healthcare professional and you failed to suggest that somebody may have a problem, what happens to your license and your job? So everybody will be piling on and saying, yeah, there could be. This is really totally out of control, totally out of control. The program has not worked in 49 states. It hasn't stopped the doctor shopping. We're having these red flag laws and these databases that are unsecured and can be used by over 23 government agencies. It's completely out of control, and I hope we have a couple good state senators who will just stand strong and say, you know, let Missouri be the beacon of freedom. We believe in our Constitution, our Missouri Constitution. We want to stand for the Fourth Amendment and the Second Amendment, and let's push on. Let's not go into this black hole like all these other states.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The problem with the red flag laws that I see is just like a lot of people have suggested over time, who gets to decide? who's on the board that decides you suffered from PTSD because of your service in Iraq or Afghanistan? You were on antidepressants for 10 years. You were diagnosed, as somebody who had post-traumatic stress disorder. You've been off those meds for a couple of years, but we're going to go back and look at this and decide that your Second Amendment rights should be suspended.
Mark, we hear your previous quip about Hillary there in Florida. What if Hillary were president and she was in charge of the commissions to set up who decides who has a so-called mental illness? And no, listen, the stats are 20% of people here have clinical depression sometime in their life or anxiety disorder. We all have a rough time getting over death of a loved one or cancer or whatever it is. And to use that database to kick open the back door of the Second Amendment and take our guns? Come on, you don't have to think too far to say, you know, build it and they will come. We do not need to build this.
Well, it's a good point. What have you heard about efforts in Jeff City to pass either of those efforts?
Well, it's a big question. As you know, as you alluded at the very beginning here, it gets down to crunch time, and everybody's elbowing their way with their particular piece of legislation and what we can do and not do. I hope that like this show and a chance to get the word out to people to say, let's not trust the government to solve these problems, especially Second Amendment and Fourth Amendment, that a couple of these state senators will be encouraged to stand strong, to filibuster, table it, kick it down to next year. I mean, we've been standing strong in Missouri while all these other states have been falling all over themselves to embrace these government regulations. So I think there's a good chance that freedom will win again here in Missouri. And we can get government out of the way so we can protect our Second and Fourth Amendment.
Well, a lot of people were worried about Real ID as well, because we were being forced by the federal government to comply with that so you can get entrance to military bases and get on aircraft to fly somewhere.
Well, and we were really pressured as a state to do that. The opportunities to be able to be in a position where you could stop this and stand strong, we just need to elect a few people to office who are willing to stand alone on principle, stand strong to push back against the federal government, the encroachment on our lives and our liberties and our freedoms. But it's a sign of the time. We got to fight whatever battles we can. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said, you know, freedom is not inherited from one generation to the other. Everybody has to do their part. And I'll continue to fight, and wherever there's an opportunity to stand for our rights and our liberties, I'll do the best I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, hindsight being what it is, when you look at this situation with state politics right now, 1 year ago, Governor Greitens stepped down. We got a new governor, the lieutenant governor. Half of the state office holders have been replaced now. You came very close to winning that election.
Well, you can't look back. And what I've done is take everything I've learned here, and I've got behind an organization called Young Americans for Liberty. Unbelievable. Over 900 college campuses. And I sat down with this team here, and we've refocused their mission statement, their goals and directions. We have won 38 campaigns. So last night we won our 38th election for state legislators. We're going to win 250 by 2020. And so I put my trust and faith now in these young people across America, these people who believe in the principles of liberty. They're organized, they're motivated. Donations are pouring in because we're doing things and we're electing principled legislators. So this is where it's really positive. There's a good sign. Turn to the youth who are engaged. Turn to Young Americans for Liberty. And that's where I'm putting my time and effort right now.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up and maybe put a link on the website so people can find out more about
we'll
it,
get
John.
The president to come in. He's 28 years old, and everyone else in the organization is younger. It's unbelievable. Nationwide organization. You'll love this guy. Cliff Maloney, Young Americans for Liberty. So I'll do my advertise it. YALiberty.org, and if people are frustrated, they want to get engaged, they want to see a positive change, look to these young people, and we're going to see some good changes. We're going to be winning some elections.
John Bruner, my guest this morning. John, have you taken a position on this city-county merger?
I sure have. I'm into it in my neck. People keep calling and ask me to volunteer to help out, and I guess I keep signing up, but I think this is an absolute disaster. And, of course, the kingmaker that they decided to put in there, he has his own troubles here as our county executive, Stanger. But, you know, shutting down all of our local police departments and taking away the authority from all the local municipalities and townships, try to combine this into a massive government. Again, it's the same program here, thinking that we just make a bigger government, it's going to solve all of our problems. So I think this thing is absolutely going to fail when people realize that they cannot call their local police department or walk in and visit their mayor and city administrators and have a conversation. But it's a big bureaucracy going to be building. So there's a lot of money behind putting it together, but there's a lot of people against it, and
well,
I'm one of those.
I'm glad to hear that, John Bruner. Always a pleasure. I hope you'll be a regular guest for us. We'd like to have you on again.
Listen, you guys are doing a great job. It's a privilege to be. You got the best listeners, and thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. We'll talk soon. John Bruner there, of course, former gubernatorial candidate, a local business owner, and proud to have him on here. Speaking about better together there, what a mess he thinks it's going to be. Couldn't agree with him more. Did you know I had taken a position on that?
You're against it?
No, you're for it.
No.
You're against it?
Come on, Wiggins. Get with the plan.
You've been so just so middle of the road on it.
I have. I've kind of been gauging my reaction to it to some extent.
Took your time, yeah, deciding. I'm big news.
They're full of crap.
All right, quick break. I can get to more of your phone calls. We're also going to talk about Elizabeth Warren's plan for free health care and free college for everybody when we come back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Anyone who's got outstanding student loan debt can have up to $50,000 worth of student loan debt canceled out so long as their income is under $100,000, then it kind of steps in up to, there's no help for anybody whose family income is above $250,000.
Wow, and you get free college, and you get free college, and you get free college.
Yay.
We'll worry about how to pay
college
for it all
for
later.
Everyone.
Don't worry about it. It's all going to be great. All you have to do is vote for me. It's like a walking Oprah Winfrey show that they've just taken on the road, and they're giving everybody a free car.
Joy rising.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it? It's every day somebody comes up with something the other person's not offering for free in order to buy your vote.
At this point, I wouldn't mind the free college, and I also wouldn't mind that $1,000 a month. So maybe if those two could run together, Yang and Warren, and then we can have...
Stop.
Those are the two things.
Stop.
Do you think I can get health care out of them, too?
I can't lose you. You millennial, you.
I mean, stop that. Just sleep in all day. You know what? I actually might go get some more college if it's free. Like, I might go finish. I'm going to have a PhD.
Everything's free.
Everything's free.
Ryan, this is the problem.
$1,000 in lunch money a month.
This isn't fair.
This is the problem here. See, that's what they're going to... There's a segment of our society that's going to buy into this because they see something for free. And I'm not saying Trisha's not just doing this tongue-in-cheek, but honestly...
She might not be.
For people that are racking up debt, they may be thinking... Well, look at that. All I have to do is cast one vote, and maybe all of my $70,000 in college debt goes away.
Even though these things have no chance of actually getting passed.
Right.
They're just the most ridiculous headline-grabbing junk.
They're just to get voted in, and that's what's so crappy is that there are people that are honestly like struggling that think, oh, this is going to solve my problems. I'll vote for this person.
People accumulate this debt for the right reasons, but in many cases, it's a bad financial decision. And what this does is alleviate you of that. I'm not saying it's your fault that tuition at the University of Missouri is $20,000 a year. And if you have no money and you have to borrow it all, you've got 80 grand in loans at the end of that. And if you get a job that only pays $30,000 a year, I understand the weight of that hanging over your head. Maybe it's a decision to look at what degree you're going to get for what you're paying for. Somebody's got to have that conversation. Let me get to my guest right now. Mary Claire Amsalem is joining us right now. She's a policy analyst at the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity at The Heritage and has taken a look at Warren's plan for eliminating college debt. And Mary Claire, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. First, just on its face, this seems unworkable to me because of the $650 billion of debt that's hanging out there right now that Elizabeth Warren seems to think she's going to be able to snap her fingers and this is just going to disappear.
Exactly. I like the language that she uses. She uses the word eliminate a lot, but Americans are smart and we know that this money is not just evaporating into thin air. Someone's going to be paying for this. And she's proposing an ultra-millionaires tax, which I think it's important to point out. She's also promised that the ultra-millionaires tax will pay for her universal child care program. And so this is an extremely costly program that does nothing to address the reason why college is so expensive. It's sort of glazing over that fact. And so it's passing over this ever-increasing cost of college onto American taxpayers. It's simply bad policy.
I'm sure that you've looked at this inside and out, but I'm always amazed when the colleges come out every year and announce a 5 or 6 or 7% increase in tuition costs, far above the cost of living. So there's no doubt that the cost of a college education has increased exponentially more than our earnings.
Exactly. And evidence has shown that the reason college tuition has increased so much is precisely because of the types of federal policies that Elizabeth Warren is suggesting. Once colleges know that students have easy access to federal funds, they will continue to raise tuition because they know that they're not going to lose customers. And that's why we've seen the cost of college tuition increase exponentially in recent decades. So the solution to the college debt problem, which, again, I'm very sympathetic to people who have huge amounts of debt that they simply can't pay back, the solution to that is to reduce the federal government's role in distributing student loans and let the private market push downward pressure on tuition prices.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like when you discuss this, it's almost in a way, it's like the addressing the Social Security problem from the standpoint that anybody who's already on it is scared to death that you're going to change something. But moving forward, we have to change the way we deal with Social Security. In the same way with college debt, we make it so easy for people to accumulate this debt without any down payment or anything other than a future promise to pay it off, that we're kind of, we've built this system.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Exactly right. And so this is something that we simply can't afford in the long run. I mean, Americans have $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. And if we keep lending to students at the rate that we are, that number is only going to grow exponentially. And students deserve to know that the job that they have waiting for them at the other end of college is not necessarily going to help pay off these student loans, as many students are learning right now. And so we need a lot more transparency about our loan system. And unfortunately, the federal loan system is not offering that for students.
Yeah, true. What is the biggest driver of these tuition increase every year, Mary Claire? I wonder if it, I mean, I hear of professors who are tenured who are making $200,000 a year, and the universities can't get rid of them once they're tenured. I mean, is it really the cost of the teachers that are driving this cost?
The teachers, administrative bloat at our universities is a massive problem. And so I'm sure anyone who's walking around a university these days can see that we have an administrator for just about everything. And so that's where the money in colleges are going. They're going to facilities. They're going to research as well. But a lot of that money does not make it to the classroom. And that's a lot of what we're seeing happening in our K-12 schools as well. And again, it's because we have this easy access to federal funds. Colleges aren't competing to provide the best product for students. They basically have a guaranteed client base. And so they're putting their money into fancy dorm rooms, into administration, and not necessarily into the academics, which is the reason students want to go to college in the first place.
That's a great point. Listen, Mary Claire Amsalem, thanks you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. She's with Heritage. You know, I remember a couple years ago, when I was still working in local television, we sent a crew down to the University of Missouri, where my son is a student right now, but at the time he wasn't. And the story that was done was on the fact that they redid the rec center down there a few years ago. And one reason they did it was as a selling point, so that when kids walked in the door, they saw this beautiful facility that looked like a Lifetime Fitness kind of place that they were going to get to use for free as part of being a student there. Yep. They did it as a selling point for the university, and that's fine because they need to attract students, unlike their situation with the racial incident a couple years ago that drove kids away from the school. I understand that they have to do that, but they've got to get these costs under control. And every time somebody at the state level, a legislator, talks about reducing the amount of money going to secondary education, to the college system, they scream poor mouth and they raise tuition again. So somebody's got to grab control of that. The answer is not just waving a wand and eliminating the cost to go to college, because the costs don't go away. That's just transferring the problem somewhere else.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
When it's all free. Right?
That must be the message.
That's it.
They must have done a focus group and
new Elizabeth Warren theme song, When It's Love. All right. Let me get to the phones here real quick. Bob, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mark, just talking about Elizabeth Warren. I went to Mizzou back in the late 60s. It cost me $900 a semester. I worked my way through college. And I think the problem today, I'm going to speak now to the millennials that are listening to this program. The problem that has gone on with the poor millennials is this. They are so desperate to get out from under the debt that they've incurred from higher, I'll call it indoctrination, not education, okay, that they're willing to go ahead and grasp at anything. The problem that's come up is it was the federal government with this free tuition stuff that you can pay back at a later date.
Yeah.
And those people have been encumbered with a home mortgage debt coming out of school. So they're looking for anything to help them have any kind of glimpse for freedom, for the dream of the American dream. Now, the one thing I will go ahead and say is this, and I kind of will take a different side from what you said. I understand what you said about the stadium or whatever, but when I went to Mizzou, they had Brewer Fieldhouse and Perot Field.
Yes.
The reason I went to Mizzou was for the education, not for the ambiance of what the school had to offer. And I think that's what's getting our kids in trouble.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. And I said to part of that earlier, we make it too easy to get that college loan money sometimes. All you're giving them is the promise that you'll pay it back. There's not much of an approval process other than FAFSA. FAFSA, I should say. Am I saying that right? FAFSA. That's it. Hey, Mitch, welcome into the program.
So I'm 50. Yeah. I had $45,000 in college loans when I graduated in 90. So my question is Elizabeth Warren going to write me a check for 45 grand? Because I paid everything off. I was raised, you know, you make a commitment, you stick to it, take responsibility for what you do. My wife, we paid off her college loans, but heck, if they're going to give it to them, why don't they just give it to all those other people that paid our loans off?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think she should add that into the plan. Don't you? That's a great idea.
That was my question yesterday. What about those people that just finished paying off those loans? You've got to be angry. Like, I'm going to want some of that money.
Where's mine? That's going to be the next question.
I'm like halfway done with mine. I'd like some of that money.
What are you giving me, Elizabeth? Yeah. Come on. All right. 314-241-9797. We'll get to the bottom line on this issue and others.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.